You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear us all live on William Hill Racing Radio from 1:40 PM. Alex Dunn, Andy Gibson and John Babb, the team in the studio, very busy. Tuesday afternoon as well, we've got Leicester, Hereford, Musselburgh and Huntingdon. Two meetings on the flat and two over the jumps. We've got evening racing as well on the all-weather at Kempton Park. So plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton. I'm joined in the studio by Tom Morley. How are you, Tom?
Very well, thank you, Mark.
Yeah?
Good form.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Coming towards the end of the flat season, I suppose.
No. Never ends.
Are you refusing to give in that the jumps are coming back?
Absolutely. There is that week, isn't there, in November, where I think, or 5 days or whatever, where there's no flat meetings. I won't be putting any availability in that week.
Good. The Monday jury, which we're going to have a look at in the Racing Post, thankfully for you, is about flat horses and all of the flat action we've seen recently.
Yeah.
So that's good stuff. We start with the star of the weekend, the star of the two-year-olds, really, this season, in the shape of Pinatubo, star of the show on Saturday. But what will be his best trip next year is the question they pose.
Well, I certainly can't see why the Guineas, you know, would be the mile's going to be absolutely fine. Ultimately, I think I'd be surprised if he got the Derby trip, really. I reckon it's going to be about a mile or a mile two, what I would think off the top of my head. But obviously, much will depend on how he prospers over the winter, really, and strengthens up and so on. But I certainly don't see a barrier, probably up to 10 furlongs anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe he will, you know, strengthen up and stay the Derby trip as well. But they can worry about that after the Guineas.
Yeah, go to the Guineas. That's the obvious path, isn't it, at this point? Go to the Guineas. Probably win it if he runs to the form we've seen from him so far. And then you can think about maybe going Eclipse or something later on in the season when it's maybe time to step him up. But he's even money for the Guineas, the 2,000 Guineas at the moment. I wouldn't like to take even money about a two-year-old at the end of a two-year-old season before you've even seen them at three. But in terms of where he ranks compared to the rest of them, he's been by far and away the best.
Absolutely. Time after time. You know, I think when he first started doing a couple of things, I'm not sure he got the praise he deserved. But, you know, obviously now, as he keeps doing the wow factor every time he runs, I know it wasn't the most amazing performance at the weekend, but very different conditions on a somewhat... obviously got to do it again in the Guineas on that track, but it is a slightly different track, and especially if there's plenty of give in it in the ground, but still won ultimately very comfortably.
And it's not often we get an odds on favourite for the 2,000 Guineas, but if he comes out and wins his first race as a three-year-old or whatever, if he does have a race before the Guineas, does he potentially go odds on for the 2,000 Guineas, given that he's already even money and he's just blitzing his field?
I suppose if he has a prep run and he scrapes home marginally against a field without perhaps some of the next lot in the betting, then I guess he could drift a bit as people go, he might not have trained on or whatever. But, you know, if he puts in any form of performance like he has done, should he have a prep run? Yeah, I would have thought so. Mm. Unless something's going to come from a different planet in the meantime and look like a superstar.
The thing I like about his performance on Saturday, which is something I mentioned about the horse in the past, we've seen him do the glitzy side of it and go and blitz a field. But then on Saturday, the ground wasn't ideal.
His track position wasn't great.
Yeah, and he's just been classy enough to overcome all that and still win with a little bit in hand, I think. And that's, you know, he can fight for his success as well as cruise to a success, which is a great thing in a racehorse.
Absolutely. I haven't got anything bad to say about the horse.
Let's move on to the 1,000 Guineas then. Do you think Quadrilateral is a Guineas filly after her winning the Filly's Mile?
I wasn't convinced prior to it because I thought, oh, you know, big step up in class and so on. Let's see what happens here before we start going on about things like that. But, you know, it was a very good performance. I did think Powerful Breeze looked quite good and perhaps just went a bit too early maybe or a bit too soon and then Quadrilateral got past. So I don't, you know, it's nothing like Pinatubo or anything. I think it's a far more open heat, but certainly Quadrilateral appears to have earned the right to be in people's thinking at this stage.
Yeah, she, a lot went wrong there and she still won. And yeah, it's only a third start, which is a big tick in the boxes. That's why she's the 6-1 favourite. But Powerful Breeze at 10-1, given I think there's probably still more to come from her.
Yeah, it's definitely a much more open heat and obviously, again, a lot could happen over the winter. But I think Quadrilateral's earned the right to be at the front end of the market, but there's plenty of decent horses in opposition.
Name another 2-year-old from Newmarket last weekend worth following for the future.
Okay, I have to admit, I didn't watch much on Saturday because I was at football. So, Spring of Love looked all right. That Max Vega, I think with the ground conditions in particular, that looked useful. Who else do I remember seeing? Military March, that was all right. And I'm going to mention just Ropey Guest for a second here because it's got however much black type now and it's still a maiden.
Yeah.
It just scares me that if they can't run in a maiden, it still won't win. But, you know, you'd think it really ought to.
Yeah, it's one of those kind of horses where it seems no matter what grade you put it in, it runs the same kind of race.
Yeah,
admirably consistent,
basically.
But
yeah. And there's a few of them around. I think possibly just Military March in general, Max Vega when the conditions are like they were.
Okay. What performance stood out to you away from Newmarket?
The only one that really hits me in the head was that Hamish. You know, I watched that race. I was doing something else at the time, so it was sort of out the corner of my eye as I just watched it basically kick clear of everything very comfortably. And I was like, oh, okay, that was a big field. It did seem a very short price, but now I see why. So that would probably be the most eye-catching thing away from Newmarket that I saw. I didn't see a lot of York.
No.
Apart from my races, yeah, which I probably didn't want to see.
Yeah, you picked the wrong races.
Hamish would probably be the one.
Fair enough. I'm going to use this opportunity to throw in a couple of national hunt animals.
Okay, off you go.
Very obvious.
I'll sit back.
And very obvious ones as well. Time Hill, third in the champion bumper last season, trained by Philip Hobbs. Richard Johnson rode him to victory in the Persian War, which, you know, it's a big step up from running in bumpers to going into a Grade 2 on your hurdles debut. And he's taken to it like a duck to water, as they say. And the runner up there, Fiddler on the Roof, just a little bit of signs of inexperience. But a very encouraging hurdling debut. And if he gets his sight lowered anytime soon, he'd hack up, I think. So, yeah, I think the Persian War will work out all right this year. So it always does, to be fair. But, yeah. And Someday Soon, who's been on a long winning run, finished third there. And I had the tendency, and I still do really, that if they've been winning over the summer months and then they come up against national animals, you think they'll be outclassed.
Yeah.
Finished third and ran all right, so maybe there is a bit more
mileage
in the winter, yeah. So I think the 1, 2, 3 there, not original. I think they're all worth keeping an eye on in the Persian War. So we'll throw them in there as well.
You don't have to be original if it's a winner.
Well, there you go, yeah. Yeah. Looking ahead, what do you think will thrive on Champions Day? Same as we always
duck.
It's something that can swim, yeah.
I mean, honestly, it was raining when I left, more south than Leeds this morning, and it obviously looks like it's going to rain a lot. There's talk, isn't there, in the paper today about just how wet it is at the moment, the wettest it's ever been, the softest it's ever been.
Well, the going description at the moment, heavy, waterlogged in places, which is some description.
Yeah. So it's no surprise, I think, that the Mudlarks are being supported like our Dabe. I mean, hopefully Stradivarius will win just for normality, I do love Ben Battle as a horse, but you know, it is no surprise that there's a little bit of money for, as I say, horses like our Dabe coming, because you'd expect it, and Mekong, who's won a couple of times on heavy ground. I think that's been backed, and that'd be against Stradivarius, wouldn't it? So, you know, I Stradivarius and Ben Battle are two that I hope will win, but you know, this ground, it's not the first time it's been like this for this. And it's just one of those things, and it's a shame, but we do live in Britain, and this does happen. It is October, so I think if the ground does go really soft, certainly a Dabe would be one that I'd expect to probably come out on top.
Yeah, and I agree with you there. I'm also hoping Stradivarius wins, because he's had this great long run of successes, different kinds of successes as well, but always out in front on the big days, and he deserves to be a winner on Champions Day, because he's been the standout of the season, really, hasn't he?
I think it'd be sad if somehow he was beaten pretty much purely because he doesn't swim as well as some.
Yeah. Final question. Would you give Enable one last run at the Breeders' Cup?
Well, I'd have retired her years ago. Probably if she was mine, yeah. Well, I'd have probably sold her. But, I think I'd say no. Just because it would be a real shame if it all went a little bit pear-shaped out there. You know, I know, obviously, what happened in the Arc was what happened, but it was still a bold run and so on, whereas I just think there's a little bit more to lose than what can be won in people's minds as much as anything else.
Mm.
I can see you disagree.
No, I don't know what to think about it, really, because she's obviously gone down honourably in the Arc.
Yeah.
But there's still that little bit of disappointment that she didn't finish on a win.
Yeah.
I think if she goes to the Breeders' Cup, she probably will win if she runs to form.
Yeah.
So it would be a nice way to sign out.
It would. Off. Yeah, yeah, I'm with you totally on that. But what happens if she comes 10th?
That's what I was going to say. But then if she goes there and disappoints, it just adds more disappointment, doesn't it? Yeah.
So I would go for no.
Yeah. But they've been very sporting in what they've done with her as well, so it would kind of fit if they goes, all right, we'll have one more go at something,
one more
and,
go.
And then she wins. But yeah, it's a hard decision to have to make.
I think the downside is certainly greater than the upside.
Yeah, be interesting to see how that pans out. Obviously, she's had a remarkable career, and finishing second in an Arc on your third attempt at a third in a row, still pretty damn
absolutely
good
on ground that was a bit boggy there as well.
Yeah.
I'm sure if they could have had it again, maybe it would have just been held on to just a little bit longer. She might have been, but
yeah,
alas, that's the way.
Yes. Not a bad position to be in, mind, no, to have to make that decision.
I see in the paper they've got jury service. I think I've done it more than any of these jockeys or trainers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
Probably in a year.
But, yeah, anyway. Let's move on then, shall we? Let's move on to Tuesday's racing. We've got some loads of racing to get stuck into, whatever your preference is as well. We've got flat racing at Leicester and Musselburgh. We've got National Hunt racing at Hereford and Huntingdon. There's a bit of action over in Punchestown as well. If we can squeeze that in, we will, but it is very busy. And we've got evening action on the all-weather at Kempton. So given all of that, we all know where Tom's going. He's going to Kempton.
Well, to be fair, I might have gone to Leicester, but if it rains any more down there, I don't know. You know,
yeah.
You never know with Leicester. It can get a bit messy there.
At least you know where you stand with these Kempton
races.
That's
the thing. It's likely to be on.
Yes. 5 o'clock is the first race you've picked out for us. A 6 furlong handicap for 3-year-olds and older rated 0 to 65. Got a pretty healthy field there as well. 12 of them set to go to post.
Yeah, I could have picked a 2-horse race, really. But alas, I didn't. I thought I was going to take a bit of a flyer here and go with a horse called Flora Tristan, who ought to be at a decent price. Not least because Flora Tristan's never won a race. Maiden after 16 starts. Runs for this yard have been over further than what Flora Tristan have been running before, and they've been dismal. Finished last on 2 of the 3 starts. But the handicapper has relented due to that and is now dropped back to 6 furlongs for the first time since racing for Marco Botti. Now, while she didn't win for him, she did finish second several times, and the last 3 times were over this trip, and include 1 visit to this track. So the drop-in trip may also help her be a bit less keen and perhaps finish her race. And I just thought, if she can rediscover the form she showed for the previous yard, then the lower handicap mark that they've earned through running at longer distances can be the difference between the previous placings and finding a win. obviously any money in the market would probably be an added attraction, I'd have thought, because clearly I've taken a little bit of a shot here. But bearing in mind the race is not necessarily the strongest. I mean, Ulladar would probably be one of the main rivals that's won a couple this year, but they're both at Wolverhampton, and I think there's going to could well be some pressure up at the front end from the start. But he does have ability, and he'll win more races, so would probably be one of the main dangers. Lordsbridge Boy is a winner at Newmarket, and although beaten here the last twice, ought to go well, but just looks a little vulnerable perhaps off this mark. Other than those, I mean, Holdenhurst again, I just think is a bit vulnerable now off the mark. The rest of them haven't really looked up to much recently. So, yeah, it was a little bit of a flyer, but why not? Let's have a nice a bit of an each-way price, hopefully, and perhaps Flora Tristan can bounce back to form over the shorter trip.
Interesting. I imagine you'll get quite a nice price about Flora Tristan. I know this is an easier grade, but recently been sent off at 50s, 50s and 33s. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully, it'll be a nice big price winner on the podcast there. Take a look at Flora Tristan in that 5 o'clock at Kempton, and the 7 o'clock is a 7 furlong handicap division two of this particular handicap for 3-year-olds and older, rated 0-75. Again, good field size, 12 of them set to go to post, and this is equally as open, although I suppose we'll see the likes of Bounty Pursuit somewhere near the top of the market given the form that one's been in. Little Palava was a recent runner-up. But again, plenty of chances here.
Yeah, and I'm going for another maiden hit, Turn to Rock, who I think will be quite well fancied in the market, I would have thought. I mean, yep, still a maiden, raced exclusively on the all-weather so far. All of his five most recent starts have been at Kempton. I think things began to click when he ran over 6 furlongs on the 23rd of September, outpaced at the crucial point, then stayed on again. His previous try over 7, he had probably needed the run, having been off for a few months. And I think that run over 6, although only finishing 4th, probably just taught him a little bit more about racing and getting him switched on. At the start this month, back over 7, held up, gradually made his move, got into a battle with a tough, hardened opponent who's been in fine form all year and just failed to come out on top. Drawn well again, with that experience under his belt, a bit more just general, I think, racecraft. Hopefully he can stay a bit calmer in the stalls as well and conserve his energy and break his maiden tag this time. But you're right, there's plenty that are in good form. I think Fighting Temeraire is probably a little bit high in the handicap now. Bounty Pursuit's been in fine form, winning 3 of the last 4. But that improvement's all been on the turf and hits the all-weather back again on a very high mark compared to the past. I just thought might have done his winning for now with a £5 higher mark. Amongst the others, Little Palava's really consistent but drawn wide and I think is vulnerable late on over this trip. We've got Gaiad in here, which is a swear word for me, but he's continued to look tricky for the new connections, though his mark is getting so low now. At some point he might pop up. Icann's lightly raced and will be popular after being denied a run for so long at Chelmsford last time, but I think if running the same type of race here, we'll be playing catch up from the inside stall. So I just really think it's about time Turn to Rock one, to be honest, and I think he will.
Turn to Rock, the selection for Tom then in the 7 o'clock to go along with his pick in the 5 o'clock. Flora Tristan, best of luck with us. Thank you very much, Tom. Been a pleasure as always, and enjoy the action on Tuesday.
Thank you.
That's the selections of Tom Morley then for Tuesday's racing. Alex Dunn, Andy Gibson and John Babb will be the team in the studio. 1:40 p.m. start time for the meetings at Leicester, Hereford, Musselburgh, Huntingdon and Kempton. So a busy Tuesday, particularly during the afternoon. Do join them for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.